friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
I laugh and then I cry every time I hear these things.
Honestly.
Hello, Celine.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty well. How are you?
Good, good, good. We've dragged you away from the TV watching the football to talk about renting rights.
Woohoo! great combo always.
Let's just dive straight into it, I reckon. Yep. We've got a text from someone who says, my bathroom is an old renovated bedroom and the ceiling is absolutely covered in black mold. The ceiling's too high for us to clean without standing on a stool and holding a mop, but when we do this, we get covered in bleach.
Jeez.
Oh, that stresses me out so bad.
Oh, my God.
Do you think we could ask our landlord to get this cleaned for us?
That sounds horrible. I'm so sorry. I've definitely had friends who had ceilings in their house that was very prone to mold, and their landlord was very much into them scrubbing it down. So this is this usual tricky territory where there's this whole thing around the Tenancy Act that it's responsibilities of the landlord and then responsibilities of the tenant.
Yeah.
So you do have, as a tenant, you do have some responsibilities to make sure there isn't kind of like, if there's mold, to wipe it away and things like this. And then just, I could go on about it. You know, we can't all live with all of our windows and doors open, which seems to be what we're kind of told to do to stop the mold. So I would say it's two-pronged. My answer is that we basically have, you might have some responsibilities to keep the mould clean, but then they also, especially as the Healthy Homes is in force now, so within 90 days of a new or renewed tenancy from the 1st of July,
mm-hmm.
they have to follow the Healthy Homes guidelines, and a lot of those around kind of ventilation stuff like that. So saying that your bathroom is an old renovated bedroom is some red flags.
Yeah, that, first off the bat, that sounds bad.
That sounds like a bad sign. So I would really look in depth at what they need to be providing to make sure it's a healthy kind of base that then you are working off in terms of mold. So there's basically this tenancy website, which I have recently realised is kind of the best resource to go to,
okay.
that we're going to link with the podcast, but
yes.
that's been kind of done by a range of tenants advocacy groups. It's called Arotohu. And if you look that up, that's got really good guides around what they need to provide. So especially looking at the Healthy Homes regulation, if that applies to you yet, I would be, it's things like you need an extractor fan that's working in the bathroom, unless it's impossible to install or something. So I would really look at what you think they need to provide,
mm-hmm.
and then get someone's advice about whether you should be doing that. Because if it's dangerous, you really shouldn't be.
No, yeah. I mean, standing on a stool, not a good, you know, first step there. You know, should they at least be providing you a stepladder that seems safer, or I don't know, that seems like even then not what you should have to do in that situation. But
yeah, absolutely. I would start with what you think they need to do, and I would definitely get some help. And you could call the Community Law Centre or the Tenants Protection Association, and they will have dealt with the mouldy high ceiling before. I'm sure it's a common trope.
Depressingly, yes, it is. Thank you, Celine. And yes, we will link Arotohu on the podcast afterwards. But if people wanted to search it up, how do you spell it?
You spell it Arotohu. And that will come up easily, and it's kind of the best guide that also is designed for tenants. It's not like trying to make it for landlords and tenants equally. It will really kind of frame it for you.
Just like this segment.
Yes.
Let's talk about this next question we've had here. Live in a big flat and we have fleas. Oh, gross. I'm so sorry.
God.
No one else seems to be that bothered by it, which I don't really understand. But they say they won't contribute to the flea bombs we need. And we do need quite a few, they've put in brackets. Do you have any advice? I feel so itchy and gross.
No.
I feel itchy and gross reading that. I'm just sorry you're having to live through that at the moment.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. That's not a situation you want. And I feel like a lot of people might have advice for dealing with this, because it's kind of a into flatmate
drama
situation. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I can really advise, and I don't know how common it actually is, but we're often told to do some kind of... have a flat sharing agreement. So if you're one of you is a tenant and the rest of you are flatmates, sign some kind of document.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if fleas would usually come up on that either.
Yeah.
So it's more to do with responsibilities to the flat. I don't know if you're the tenant that then is dealing with flatmates, you might try and lay down the law and find a way to get people to reimburse you, or or something, but otherwise I'm afraid it might just be one of those decisions where you're like making a call about whether you can, you'd rather stay in the flat and pay for the flea bombs or you'd rather find a new flat.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help that much. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's
one.
That's awful.
Someone said, hey, Celine, lots of things in my flat need to be fixed. Bathroom door, freezer, blinds in the living room, to name a few. Do you think it's better to send my property manager a long list of all the things at once or sort of filter them through over a couple of months?
Yeah, this is depressing, and I think it really speaks to the trouble with how the law, the impetus is on the tenants to do all of the kind of hard work and regulating all of this stuff, because I know that the law basically says that you have a responsibility to tell the landlord as soon as possible everything that's wrong. But I know a lot of people don't do that because you can spook them or things like this. And so I think it's, if you don't tell them about something and then it gets more damaged, you can be liable. So it is really important to be telling them everything that's going on.
Kind of as it happens. Yeah.
Kind of as it happens. If you've moved in and then you've kind of, you've signed saying you you took the property as it was and now you're wanting improvements or something, you're in a trickier territory. So I would really, again, use the you go and look at Aotearoa or the community law booklet has one about renting as well, and really get to know your rights around what they're supposed to provide for you.
Yeah.
And then I think when you're sending your demands or your the things that you're paying for, when you're sending that email, you know exactly what they're supposed to be doing and what your responsibility is. So I would I would do that, but I understand there's a lot of weird performance stuff around trying to keep them on side. But it's a property manager. They're literally paid to do that, so you should be telling them everything they need to do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that, Celine. We've had a text from a few people who've got some helpful flea advice for that texter. So I'm going to read these out. Not, you know, strictly renting advice, but just some tips from people who sound like they've had to deal with it before. Someone says, shake and vac, sprinkle it around, walk in it for a week and then vacuum it up. No fleas.
Okay.
Wow. So there you go. And someone else says, wear flea collars on your ankles, which feels less helpful, but thank you for texting it in nonetheless. Cheers, Celine. We'll talk to you next week. We'll link all those very useful resources in the podcast. Have a good one.
Thanks.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.